All right, welcome to another deep dive. And this time, we're taking a look at the book of Ephesians.
Oh, yeah.
It's an interesting one.
Absolutely.
So, you know, imagine you're getting a letter.
Yeah.
And you're facing pressure from all sides.
Right.
Magic, astrology.
Oh, yeah.
Even conflicts within your own community.
Oh, wow.
That was the reality for the early Christians in Ephesus.
Right.
And that's where this letter lands.
I see.
So we're going to unpack some of the key themes of Ephesians. And see what we can learn from it.
It's amazing to think about just how different the world of Ephesus was from our own.
Yeah.
And to really grasp the message of Ephesians, I think we have to step back in time and try to understand that city. You know, it was a melting pot of cultures and religions.
Yeah.
Where magic and astrology were really deeply woven into everyday life.
It sounds almost like something out of a fantasy novel.
Absolutely.
Can you give us a specific example of this?
Absolutely. Think of the Ephesia Grammata, six magical words that were believed to hold incredible power in Ephesus. And, you know, though that their exact meaning is debated, the belief in their power really reveals how intertwined magic was with their culture.
Right.
And it wasn't just harmless superstition either.
Okay.
In Acts 19, we read about the sons of Sceva.
Yeah.
These are Jewish priests who tried to use Jesus's name like a magical formula to perform exorcisms. And it backfired spectacularly, demonstrating the clash between Christianity and that kind of prevailing worldview of magic.
So trying to blend those two worlds together just wasn't going to work.
Not really, no.
It makes you wonder how the early Christians navigated such a complex environment.
It definitely was a challenge, and that's part of what makes this letter so intriguing.
Yeah.
And speaking of the letter, maybe we should address the elephant in the room. Who actually wrote Ephesians?
Right, because I know there's been some back and forth about that over the years.
There has. Most scholars today lean towards Pauline authorship,
okay,
though there are different viewpoints. But what we can say with more certainty is that the letter was intended for churches in the region of Asia Minor, particularly around Ephesus. Think of it as a circular letter,
okay,
meant to encourage and challenge a network of churches all facing similar pressures.
Okay, so we've got Paul writing to these churches in Asia Minor. What prompted him to write this letter in the first place?
Well, remember, these were relatively new believers. Many of them came from pagan backgrounds. They were still figuring out what it meant to follow Christ in a world that didn't quite understand or accept their new faith.
Right.
And some Jewish Christians might even have been tempted to mix their old ways with pagan practices.
Mm.
So Paul writes to affirm their new identity in Christ.
Yeah.
To address those very real spiritual forces that they're up against,
right,
to promote unity among this very diverse group, and to push for a transformed lifestyle.
Yeah, that's a tall order.
It is.
It sounds like they needed a very solid foundation to stand on.
Absolutely.
Speaking of which, you mentioned spiritual powers.
Yeah.
And that's not something we talk about a lot today.
It's true. Our culture does tend to shy away from the supernatural, but for the early Christians, this was part of their everyday reality.
Mm-hmm.
And Paul doesn't shy away from it either. In fact, one of the major themes of Ephesians is the supremacy of Christ, the idea that Christ reigns over all creation,
right,
including those unseen forces that would have seemed so powerful to the Ephesians.
So it's not about pretending those forces don't exist. It's about understanding where they fit in the bigger scheme of things.
Exactly. And that leads us to another key theme, our participation with Christ.
Okay.
Paul explains that believers are united with Christ in his death and resurrection, sharing in his victory and fullness.
Wow.
You know, and for people coming from a background of trying to manipulate spiritual forces through magic,
right,
this concept would have been revolutionary.
It completely reframes their understanding of power, doesn't it?
It really does, yeah.
It's not about trying to control the spiritual realm, but about being connected to the one who already reigns over it.
Absolutely. And that connection impacts everything,
mm-hmm,
including how they relate to each other.
Yeah.
You know, Paul uses this image of the church as the body of Christ, a diverse but unified body where each part plays a vital role. Think of a hand. It needs all of its parts to function properly.
That makes so much sense. You can't have a functioning body with parts working against each other.
That's right.
And I remember that Paul gets pretty specific about how that unity should play out in their relationships.
He does, and we'll get into that a little bit more later.
Okay.
But for now, let's shift gears a little bit.
Okay.
And dive into that famous opening blessing in Ephesians 1:3-14. It's so packed with praise and theological depth. that it's often called the breathless invocation. Mm-hmm. Some Greek texts even treat it as one long sentence.
It's like he's overflowing with excitement about what he's about to share.
That's right.
I'm curious to hear how you would unpack such a complex passage.
Well, one key element is this concept of God as Father. You know, and for people accustomed to deities who were distant or demanding, this idea of God as a loving Father would have brought incredible comfort and security.
It speaks to that deep human need for belonging and acceptance, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And Paul takes it a step further with this idea of adoption.
Okay.
He emphasizes that believers aren't just followers of a distant God. They're welcomed into his family.
Wow.
Sharing an inheritance with Christ himself.
So it's not just about believing the right things. It's about being brought into a whole new family structure.
That's right.
It makes you wonder how that concept would have landed in a culture where households often had their own patron deities.
It would have been revolutionary. And remember, this concept of adoption and familial language has deep roots in the Old Testament. We see echoes of it in the Psalms and the prophets. Even figures like Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian king who witnessed the faithfulness of those three young men in the fiery furnace, ends up praising the God of Israel using similar language.
It's amazing to see how those early Christians, even while facing such intense pressure, were already making an impact on the world around them.
They were. It's just amazing. And we're just scratching the surface of what Ephesians has to offer.
Yeah.
So much more.
Okay. You know, it's interesting how we can so easily kind of dismiss the idea of a spiritual realm.
Yeah.
Yet we're surrounded by so many things that we can't fully explain.
Right.
Like love, beauty, even the origins of the universe.
Yeah. I agree. It seems like the more we learn about the world, the more we realize how much we don't know.
Right.
And maybe that sense of mystery is a doorway to something bigger than ourselves.
Right.
Something that transcends our limited understanding.
And perhaps that's part of what makes Ephesians so compelling. It challenges us to consider a wider perspective.
Absolutely.
A reality where we're not just physical beings, but spiritual beings as well.
Yes. And not only spiritual beings, but beings connected to a powerful source, connected to Christ himself. And, you know, remember Paul was writing from prison when he penned this letter? It makes you wonder how he could maintain such a hopeful and even joyful tone in the midst of those difficult circumstances.
That's a good point. You'd think he'd be so focused on his own suffering.
Yeah.
But instead, he's encouraging these churches, reminding them of their identity in Christ, the power they have through the Holy Spirit.
It's almost as if his imprisonment gave him a clearer perspective. You know, he wasn't distracted by those everyday concerns that we so often get bogged down by.
Right.
He was able to focus on the essentials, the eternal truths that transcend our temporary circumstances.
And he wasn't content to just keep those truths to himself either.
Some scholars believe that Ephesians was meant to be circulated among a wider network of churches, not just those in Ephesus itself.
Exactly. It's like he envisioned this letter as a ripple effect.
Yeah.
You know, spreading outwards from Ephesus and carrying this message of hope and unity to other communities facing similar challenges.
Right.
And it makes sense when you consider how the letter is structured.
Yeah.
You know, it's not addressing specific issues in a particular church.
Right.
It's laying out this grand vision for the church as a whole.
A vision of who they are, who they're called to be, and how they're meant to live in the world. It's a pretty remarkable legacy, especially considering that he wrote it while literally in chains.
It is. And it speaks to the power of the gospel to break down barriers, to create unity where there was division, and to offer hope in the midst of suffering. Okay, so we've explored the background of Ephesus, the key themes of the letter, the imagery of spiritual warfare, and even touched on the structure and purpose of the letter itself. But there's one more question I'd like to pose. Why should any of this matter to us today? What can a letter written almost 2,000 years ago to a group of people facing a very different set of challenges, what can it have to say to us in the 21st century?
That's the question, isn't it? And I think the answer lies in recognizing that human nature hasn't really changed all that much. You know, we might not face the same cultural pressures as the Ephesians.
Right.
But we're still bombarded with competing ideologies. We're still tempted to compromise. We're still wrestling with our own internal struggles.
It's like that feeling of not quite fitting in, of searching for something more, something to anchor our lives to.
Exactly. And just like the Ephesians, we need that solid foundation.
Yeah.
that Paul lays out in this letter. You know, we need to understand who we are in Christ
right.
to grasp the reality of our adoption into God's family and to equip ourselves for the spiritual battles that we inevitably face.
So it's not just about admiring Ephesians as an ancient text. It's about allowing its message to shape our lives today.
It's about taking those timeless principles
yeah.
and applying them to our modern context.
Yeah.
It's about letting the gospel transform our relationships, our communities,
right.
and ultimately the world around us.
It's about becoming living embodiments of that letter.
Yes.
Carrying its message of hope and unity into a world that desperately needs it.
That's beautifully put. And that's what makes this deep dive so rewarding. It's not just about accumulating knowledge.
Yeah.
It's about discovering truths that have the power to change us from the inside out.
You know, it's interesting how we can so easily dismiss the idea of a spiritual realm.
Yeah.
But yet we're surrounded by all these things that we can't fully explain.
Right.
Like love, beauty, even the origins of the universe.
I agree. It seems like the more we learn about the world,
yeah.
the more we realize how much we don't know. And maybe that sense of mystery is a doorway to something bigger than ourselves.
Hmm.
Something that transcends our limited understanding.
Yeah, and perhaps that's part of what makes Ephesians so compelling.
Absolutely.
You know, it challenges us to consider this wider perspective.
Yeah.
This reality where we're not just physical beings, but spiritual beings as well.
And not only spiritual beings, but beings connected to a powerful source, connected to Christ himself. And, you know, remember, Paul was writing from prison when he penned this letter.
Right.
It makes you wonder how he could maintain such a hopeful and even joyful tone
yeah.
in the midst of such difficult circumstances.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
You'd think he'd be so focused on his own suffering.
Yeah.
But instead, he's encouraging these churches, reminding them of their identity in Christ,
mm-hmm.
the power they have through the Holy Spirit.
It's almost as if his imprisonment gave him this clearer perspective.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he wasn't distracted by those everyday concerns that we so often get bogged down by. He was able to focus on the essentials, the eternal truths that transcend our temporary circumstances.
And he wasn't content to just keep those truths to himself either. Some scholars believe that Ephesians was meant to be circulated among a wider network of churches, not just those in Ephesus itself.
Exactly. It's like he envisioned this letter as a ripple effect, you know, spreading outwards from Ephesus
yeah.
and carrying this message of hope and unity
mm.
to other communities facing similar challenges. And it makes sense when you consider how the letter is structured. You know, it's not addressing specific issues in a particular church.
Right.
It's laying out this grand vision for the church as a whole.
A vision of who they are, who they're called to be, and how they're meant to live in the world. It's a pretty remarkable legacy, especially considering he wrote it while literally in chains.
It is, and it speaks to the power of the gospel to break down barriers, to create unity where there was division, and to offer hope in the midst of suffering.
Okay, so we've explored the background of Ephesus, the key themes of the letter,
mm-hmm.
the imagery of spiritual warfare, and even touched on the structure and purpose of the letter itself. But there's one more question I'd like to pose. Why should any of this matter to us today? What can a letter written almost 2,000 years ago to a group of people facing a very different set of challenges?
Mm-hmm.
What can it have to say to us in the 21st century?
That's the question, isn't it? And I think the answer lies in recognizing that human nature hasn't really changed all that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we might not face the same cultural pressures as the Ephesians,
right.
but we're still bombarded with competing ideologies.
Mm-hmm.
We're still tempted to compromise. We're still wrestling with our own internal struggles.
It's like that feeling of not quite fitting in, of searching for something more, something to anchor our lives to.
Exactly. And
yeah.
just like the Ephesians, we need that solid foundation
yeah.
that Paul lays out in this letter. You know, we need to understand who we are in Christ
right.
to grasp the reality of our adoption into God's family and to equip ourselves for the spiritual battles that we inevitably face.
So it's not just about admiring Ephesians as an ancient text. It's about allowing its message to shape our lives today.
It's about taking those timeless principles.
Yeah.
and applying them to our modern context. It's about letting the gospel transform our relationships, our communities,
right.
and ultimately the world around us.
It's about becoming living embodiments of that letter.
Yes.
Carrying its message of hope and unity into a world that desperately needs it.
That's beautifully put. And that's what makes this deep dive so rewarding. It's not just about accumulating knowledge.
Yeah.
It's about discovering truths that have the power to change us from the inside out.
This has been an incredible journey through Ephesians.
It really has.
I feel like we've gained a whole new appreciation for this book, and I'm excited to continue exploring it even further.
Me too. There's always something new to discover.
Well, that brings us to the end of our deep dive into Ephesians. To our listener, I hope you found this as enriching and insightful as we have.
It's been a pleasure unpacking these truths with you.
And remember, this is just the beginning. There's a whole world of knowledge and wisdom waiting to be explored. So keep seeking, keep learning, and keep diving deep.
And we'll be here for future deep dives, ready to embark on new adventures of discovery with you.
Until next time, keep asking questions, keep challenging assumptions, and keep searching for those hidden gems of truth that have the power to transform our lives.